You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Friday. Asher Lowe joined by Ben Kenny. We're the team at BadgersWire.com. I'm a play-by-play broadcaster for Badger Sports, work at ESPN Madison. Ben is over at The Zone Madison. But most importantly, we're your hosts right here on the Locked On Badgers podcast, bringing you the insider student perspective filled with stats, former student perspective, filled with stats, special guests, and all things Wisconsin basketball and football and even other sports as well. We got some volleyball action. We got some softball action. We've hit it all this year, Ben. And we're staying in football today, though. We're going to talk a little bit about the Big Ten West with betonline.ag's odds being listed for over-under win totals in college football. We have kind of an idea how Vegas thinks the Big Ten West will shake out. And Ben and I are going to give you our opinions on some of these lines, a team we see really doing well, beating their number in Vegas, and a team we see struggling compared to what Vegas thinks they will do next season. But first, before we get into it, make sure you follow us at Locked On Badgers, at AOW underscore 33, and at Ben Z Kenny on Twitter. Ben, it's time to pick some over-unders, a little betting, a little gambling. Before our AmFan gambling, think of it as a warm-up.
I still don't know if that's like completely allowed, but whatever.
What is?
Like if we're going to cover the game, but we also have money on one of the dudes.
That's a great question. We'll find out if one of our bosses listens to Locked On Badgers this week. There you go. That could be how it works. We could just find out if someone actually that works or that we work under at one of our respective radio stations in Madison listens to the show.
I was asked on air today if I was a gambler, and I have since quit again.
Because you were asked on air, or because
no, we were talking about the Bucks Nets series odds, and I was asked if I was a gambler, and I said that I quit again. Effective 3 weeks ago. So we'll see.
Bucks plus 170 on betonline.ag, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
We could do a whole episode on that. As you know, I could do a whole episode on that. We could do 2 hours on that series.
Wait, I need to say one thing.
Okay, fine.
No, it's not about basketball. I just wanted to say summer's back. Like, summer's here. I sat out at the Union for 2 hours today. It was really hot, and I had very fair skin. So I sunburned very easily, but I put on a lot of sunscreen. I sat out at the Union, and I couldn't tell if I just didn't sleep a lot last night, which is the case, or if you know, you're in that like Zen summer state where you just sit out in the sun all day and then you get really tired. But it's like a really good tired, you know?
Not only is summer back, the Union is back, because you couldn't go to the Union if you didn't have your green card on the Wisconsin vaccination, or not vaccination, the Wisconsin COVID testing app. Once you get a vaccine, that app turns green for good. And now I believe the Union isn't requiring any of that stuff. You can just go sit at the Union now.
Yeah, the Union's big time back.
The Union is back. Summer is back. And Big Ten football is almost back. Couple months away from Big Ten West season. But Ben, we have a bunch of lines in front of us right now.
I'm still pissed off that we're playing at 11 a.m. to open the season. But continue.
That's a couple months away. That complaining episode is a couple months away from us. But let's get into a little season preview with a gambling lens. So in the Big Ten West, Ben, who would you think would have the lowest win total over under coming in to the year?
It's Illinois. The answer is
correct. You would be correct.
They might not. I said it on Locked On Big Ten way back when. They're going to win a game, but they might not win more than one game all year.
They need more than one all year to get to this number. 3.5 is their betonline.ag number. And I'm not 100% sure I'm going in perfect order here, but Purdue is set at over 5 right now. 5 is the number there. Northwestern is at 6. Nebraska is also at 6. Iowa is at 8.5. Minnesota, I missed Minnesota in my writing. Do you have Minnesota listed?
Yeah, they're at 7.
Minnesota's at 7. Wisconsin is at 9.5. Is that all of them? Did I get them all?
Yep.
Awesome. Here's how we're going to do this, Ben. One over, one under, the one you are most confident about. If you had to put all that fake money, because you don't gamble anymore, on one of these lines, either way, you're under, which I already know what it would be, because I know you've been just not trashing this team, but you feel like they're getting a little bit too much preseason hype, and your under would be.
So it's there's no trashing going on because we're in June, but my under is Iowa. It's set at 8.5, and I think they're getting way too much love for their situation going into this year. They come out of last year losing Chauncey Golston, Davion Nixon on the defensive line, who were two absolute beasts. They lose Amir Smith-Marset on the outside, who is a stud, pretty much created a good amount of their passing offense. And this all boils down for me. Now, they still return a lot of dudes on the defensive side of the football. This all boils down to me. It's all about Spencer Petras. I'm not sold on him. I don't think he is a 9-win quarterback. And you look through their schedule, they play Iowa State, which is a game they missed last year. That'll be really cool. But they play Iowa State. They get Penn State and Indiana as the two Big Ten East crossover games. And those are going to be two of the best teams in the East. So that already makes it tougher. They could get around that number, but I like their under just because I don't trust Petras and I don't see him leading them back to the level that they were at the end of last year because a lot of stuff went right for them. Now they lose a lot of their best players to the NFL, and I'm not sold on the quarterback.
If there's one number from last year's stat line, Ben, with Spencer Petras, it's that 57% completion percentage. That has to be higher.
There is one highlight. So when I went through the Iowa-Wisconsin game last year after the contest on Twitter, posted a bunch of film videos, there was one throw that he made where it was a play action. I don't even think it was a boot. It was just a play action, double cross or double post where you had Smith-Marset. I forget who was the other receiver, both running posts. They were looking deep and Petras just turns around, immediately throws out into like the flat kind of intermediate 20-yard area. And there was not a receiver within 55 yards of where he threw the ball. And I don't know, that just sticks in my head.
So last year's stat line for Spencer, let's read it out. As a sophomore in his first real year as a starter, his second year on campus, was he redshirt? I'm not sure. I don't think he was. So I'm going to say as a true sophomore, because that's what it says right here on the ESPN stat line. 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions in 7 games, almost 1,600 yards, 1,569. And a completion percentage at 57% that I think has to be much higher. And also, Ben, a lot of games where he wasn't good and he wasn't bad. He was just...
He didn't need to be that good because their defense played so well.
Right.
And Smith-Marset was creating like 20 yards of separation on some of those throws.
And the rushing attack was very solid last year.
And it will be good again.
It will be good again, no doubt. But like you said about that one throw you were mentioning that you remembered in your head, there were some plays last year that just left you scratching your head with this guy. You saw the arm talent, and he has a huge arm. Maybe the biggest arm in just terms of how far can you throw the football in the conference.
Did you see Ohio State's quarterback spring?
Who's our next guy?
Dude, his name is Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, I know Quinn Ewers. Oh man,
hair's flowing, tossing sidearm bombs like 40 yards down the field. He's 2022
number one overall player, right?
Yeah.
Oh boy,
that's gonna suck.
Quinn and his hair are going to be real, real popular in Madison. Yeah. I guarantee it for sure. Going to be real popular in Madison for the next few years. But Spencer Petras has a huge arm, Ben. We just didn't see the consistency and the accuracy. And you have to be consistent and accurate in the Big Ten to win 9 games, which is the number. 8.5 is a huge number.
Yeah, I'm doing the math. And I believe there's 1, 2. Like the fact that they have on their schedule, aside from their team itself, the fact that they have Indiana, while it is at home, they have Indiana. They go to Ames, Iowa to face Iowa State, who's a top 6 team in the country going in, I believe. Penn State, that is also at home, but they travel to Madison. And then you have the rest of the West schedule. And you know, stuff happens between those teams where no matter how good they are, teams are going to knock each other off. So the fact that they get those 2 crossover games in Penn State and Indiana, and they have a tough out of conference test, 8.5 is a little high to me.
So I'll give you my over in just a sec, but first a quick message from Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the game. 9 delicious flavors with coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted, caramel. There is something for absolutely everyone. My favorite flavor? I can't really pick one, but I'd take mint brownie out of those 9. That's exactly why I get the mixed box, where you get 2 of each of those 9 flavors. And the best part about these bars, in addition to the flavors, is the fact that they have 17 or 18 grams of protein per bar, 130 to 180 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams net carbs in most of these guys. And if you order right now at BuiltBar.com, BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15. LOCKED15, all caps, no spaces. LOCKED15. You will get 15% off your first order at BuiltBar.com. Ben, time for my over. And I think you're going to like this one because from what I've heard you say, you're actually worried about this game on Wisconsin's schedule. And we've talked about Wisconsin's schedule on this show already a little bit, their 2021 schedule. Obviously, we'll get into it a lot more as the season draws closer. But my number that I like for the over is Purdue over 5 wins. And there are a few reasons. Their schedule is very tough. So I think this number would be 6.5 or 6. Like, there's no reason to me on paper to have Nebraska as a higher win total than Purdue until you look at the schedule, the non-conference schedule, and the things Purdue's going to have to get through to get to 5 wins and to get to 6 wins, really, to cash your number. 5 would be a push in this scenario. But Jeff Brohm's team, as they always seem to have over the last few years, Ben, they have a couple just studs, one on each side of the ball that really stick out to you. David Bell, who was that number 2 to Rondell Moore last year as a receiver and is going to be an absolute stud, a guy that put up huge numbers against the Badgers, by the way, a couple years ago.
He's scary.
He is scary.
He's also he's a big game dude where he has the ability, the speed. He has everything you need to take over a game from that position, and that's not very common in this conference at least.
Speaking of taking over the game at a position, defensive end George Karlaftis is essentially that on the opposite side of the football and has been that. And they have two Karlaftis brothers now, by the way. Yanni, who was a Wisconsin target for a little bit, is coming in the class of 2021. So I like their studs on either side of the football. The question is, once again, it feels like it's always been for Purdue. What are you doing at quarterback? And that's a question that they haven't really answered. By the way, that 2019 class for Purdue, Ben, which will now be the rising junior class. So that's George Karlaftis' class. That was the number 25 class in the nation.
Huh.
That's a top 25 class in the nation. So now is the time, 2 years after that class, to really show that, yeah, that was a top 25 class. Because obviously the way college football works, you're not going to see those effects immediately at a level like the Big Ten. It's going to take a couple years for those guys to find their role and for other guys to graduate, get older. But once again, Purdue's issues really start with quarterback. And I don't really have a solution for you. It's probably Plummer or O'Connell. Then there's the UCLA transfer who and Ben, if you want to know how good this guy was when he
fell on yourself for a second. I didn't even know he went there.
I'm doing it right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing it right now. I did not recognize this guy's name when you said it, and you said he was a UCLA transfer, but Austin Burton, who played in a few games for the Bruins, is a rising junior. And I saw on Purdue's SB Nation site that they have him listed, that site projection to be listed as the one, which that would really surprise me. He's a 6'2 junior from Newton, Massachusetts. The point is, they need a QB. They need it to be Burton, Plummer, O'Connell. One of those guys has to be not great, but above average to get to this 5 wins. Here's the thing with the schedule, though, and it's not easy at all.
No.
Oregon State week 1 at home should be a win, but that's not a gimme.
It's not a gimme for Purdue.
That's what I'm saying. On the road at UConn is not a gimme, but should be a win. At Notre Dame, have fun.
Hell.
Have fun. But what I do like about this, their first two Big Ten games are great games to win. Illinois at home, Minnesota at home. Those can both easily be wins. So let's give them, Ben, 4 wins in their first 5 games, in my opinion, is possible. But let's give them 3 in their first 5, which I think is the most likely scenario. They go 3-2, okay? At Iowa and Wisconsin at home, that's probably 2 L's right there. Then they have Ohio State a couple weeks later on the road, so we'll call those 3 L's, no doubt. They can absolutely take care of Nebraska, Michigan State, Northwestern, and Indiana. And Michigan State...
They would need all of those to hit the number?
No. That would give you 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's do some quick math here. 5, 6, 7. That would give you 7. They don't need all of them. So let's say I'm going to give you the projected schedule right now if I was projecting it, and you can tell me if I'm crazy or whatever. But here we go. Oregon State, 1-0. All right. Connecticut, 2-0. Purdue, 2-0. Or Notre Dame, 2-1. Illinois, 3-1. Minnesota, let's go 3-2 for argument's sake. Iowa and Wisconsin, 3-4. Nebraska at Nebraska, let's go 3-5. I'll be very generous here. 4-5, Michigan State. 4-6, Ohio State. Northwestern, who I think is going to be down, I'm going to give Purdue the win there. 5-6, 6-6 at home against Indiana in the final week. they win that rivalry game.
So they need to beat Indiana at home, who Indiana could be playing for, I don't know, some stake in the Big Ten.
Just give them the Nebraska win then. I was so generous until the end. Then I realized I couldn't be generous anymore.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think five. Here's the thing about that.
I like the number there.
Five is really hard to not hit for them. Five is like a perfect number there. So You're thinking really a push is your worst case scenario in most scenarios. I'd go like 50% push, 15% L, 35% win. And that's good value.
All right. Should we turn this into a Wisconsin podcast now?
You're about to.
There you go. My over. The Wisconsin Badgers, 9.5. The number makes a lot of sense. And you can call me crazy. You can call me psychotic. You can call me a homer. I don't see any scenario.
You're crazy, psychotic homer.
There you go. Where this team, I am watching the Phillies game right now. I don't see any scenario where this team does not win 10 games. Start off against Penn State. They're playing at home in front of the first, probably, we don't know yet, probably full capacity Camp Randall crowd in 2 years. The team, we've talked about so much with their schedule and coming off of last year. You guys have heard us say they had a lot of adversity. Now they have the full offseason to prepare. There's talent everywhere. They have time to figure out defensive end. Now they bring in Ches Malusi. The backfield's loaded. So Penn State's going to be good, but that's a win in my books. Eastern Michigan next. Notre Dame. While I love Jack Cohn, this is going to be a down year for Notre Dame after seeing a lot of their best players go to the NFL after last year. And even though they're playing neutral site, I think that's a game Wisconsin wins. And even if they do lose it, let's say they're 2-1 after the first three. They welcome Michigan at home. That's a win. Michigan doesn't win at Camp Randall. They go to Illinois. Another win. So that is, I'm not a math major, 4-1. Then they welcome Army, which could be an interesting trap game.
I've talked about that on this podcast many times. I think that's going to be the trap of all traps this year.
It could be, but I think they're going to have so much momentum and things are going to be churning so well. Like if that was the first game of the season, trap. But having that a little later, I feel like things are already moving. That's another win, 5-1. Then they go to Purdue. That game does scare me, but they're winning, 6-1. They welcome in Iowa, probably for the Big Ten West crown. I think they win that as well. 7-1. Wait, I think I might have messed up my math. Whatever. Then they go to Rutgers. That's a win. They welcome in Northwestern. Down here for Northwestern. That's a win. They welcome Nebraska. Another win. And then they go to Minnesota. And that game could scare me. So in the grand scheme of things, I think they lose two games, either Penn State or Michigan. While I think they'll have the advantage, more than likely they come out 1-1 in those games. And then either Notre Dame or Iowa. Again, they have the advantage in both, but more than likely they come out 1-1. So that's 10-2 easy. All they have to do is avoid dropping like in Illinois, going on the road and losing on a stupid field goal.
There's tougher games they could drop than in Illinois.
Yeah, I rest my case. Minnesota could scare me if they learn how to play defense, but the other Big Ten West games are not going to be challenging. And the fact that they get Penn State and Michigan at home is huge.
I agree. And if anybody likes any of these lines, especially if you want to fade us, because it'd probably be smart, betonline.ag is the place to go do it. Betonline.ag is the trusted sportsbook experts that we use here at Locked On. Betonline.ag has all odds on every major sport you can imagine, including, of course, NCAA football win totals that we are talking about here today. And when you go to betonline.ag and you make your first deposit, you can get 50% added as a welcome bonus. So say you deposit $100, you can get $50 added to that to bet with if you use the code Locked On for 50% added to your welcome bonus at betonline.ag. Use that code Locked On for 50% added to your welcome bonus. Ben, my final number of the day, my under. No, I'm not going Nebraska. I know you're shocked out there if you've listened for the last year plus to Locked On Badgers that no, I'm not going against Nebraska this year. I'm going against Northwestern. A team that I liked a lot going into last year, but a team that I think goes through that exact phase they went through over the last 3 years, where they're good, bad, good, and they're going to be bad again. And the reasons are pretty simple. I don't think they have a Peyton Ramsey on this roster. He's gone. And the guy that they're thinking is going to start, Ryan Helsinki, has barely thrown a collegiate pass. Highly ranked in Graham Mertz's class, by the way, in 2019. A pure pocket passer, a transfer from South Carolina, but a guy that has thrown 6 collegiate passes.
Dude, they have Hunter Johnson. Do you remember him?
Oh, do I remember him? I was about to get to him. Because I was about to say that they don't have, listen, they don't have, and I apologize, by the way, Helsinki started as a freshman. I meant 6 collegiate passes last year.
Sure. Okay.
So he started as a freshman and threw 11 touchdowns, 5 picks, had an year.
Yeah, he kind of sucked.
Kind of an year.
He kind of sucked.
At South Carolina, and then barely played last year. So, your other options at quarterback, Hunter Johnson. Talk about highly ranked. Man, former 5-star, former Clemson guy, Hunter Johnson. If you're a Badger fan over the last couple of years, you watched Hunter Johnson come into Camp Randall. In fact, you probably watched him quite a bit that year. It was bad.
Not good.
It was very bad. A Hunter Johnson renaissance would be quite the story, but I don't see it. Outside of the quarterback situation, losing Peyton Ramsey, who was very good last year, I think better than a lot of people thought he would be, you're losing some real keys on defense. Obviously, Newsom was one of the best corners in this conference last year. You're losing NFL talent on the defensive side of the ball, but you're also losing your defensive coordinator, Jim O'Neill, coming in as a new defensive coordinator, the first new defensive coordinator Northwestern's had in over a decade, Ben. So a lot of changes on defense. A whole new quarterback situation with a guy that hasn't proven himself at the collegiate level yet and is a transfer. And that's why I think Northwestern goes under that total of 6 games, wins around 4 or 5.
You know, it's a travesty. And this is going to – you can get your bingo cards out. So Hunter Johnson, you know who he shared a recruiting class with? Not necessarily like at Clemson. You know who's in his year?
Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Brad Davison.
Oh my goodness.
But if he sees snaps, but if he sees snaps, we're not going to hear anything.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. I just looked that up. I kind of wanted him to be older than Brad Davison for the sake of the timing, but he's not.
Is younger than, and I tweeted this out.
Than me.
Not okay. Oh. Not, it's not about you, man. It's not about you. It's about Nebraska, as I always seem to find a tie back to.
Adrian Brad Martinez Davison
is younger than more than half. I couldn't even get one guy. Then more than half of the Nebraska basketball roster next year.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you build transfer U and they've all gone to junior college for a couple of years.
There you go.
He's younger than half the roster next year. All right. We'll leave it at that. As we thought we'd finish with, we finished with Brad Davis and Ben. As always, on Wisconsin, BetOnline.ag is the place. If you like any of these lines, Ben loves Wisconsin 9.5. I like the under of Northwestern. I like the over with Purdue. Ben likes that Iowa under. You can get it all at BetOnline.ag.
I'm going to sneak this in at the end, so hopefully fewer people are listening. But if Minnesota learns how to play defense, they could win the West.
Wow. Next week could be interesting on this show if we come back to that team. As always, on Wisconsin is how we actually should finish this. Not with Minnesota could win the West. Fair on enough. Wisconsin, Ben.